и дошла тьма.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall we bow down our heads and pray? Can you just come to God to address you this morning? The Lord at least has something to let you know this morning. And it has certain things to settle in your life. Why don't you just tell him, Lord, I want you to address me in particular. Don't leave me untouched. Because somebody you need to address today, I should be one of the persons. Every message is packaged for somebody. It may not be everybody, but someone is at the heart of God. Is at the center of the heart of God that God wants to address today. Round up your prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. The privilege we receive to be here is all because you want it to be. Thank you for the gift of life you gave to every one of us to see this beautiful day, the beginning of another new week. We thank you for the much you have done to see us through the night. The unseen battle you fought and the victory you granted to every one of us. We cannot undermine it. We appreciate you, Lord. We pray even as we look to the pages of your word. Speak to us, Lord, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please sit down. Let me first of all appreciate my beloved brother, a partner in the ministry. We've been together for so many years. And the Lord has been using him to bless us as well. So I must appreciate the Reverend Dr. Jorge for everything. For extending your hand of fellowship to us. I think it matters a lot to us. Like you rightly said, I'm very busy. That's why the first time I couldn't come, I must say I'm sorry. The Sunday I was supposed to come, I couldn't make it because there were some pressing issues that took over the whole day. And I pray that God will help me to be available at the very time I am needed. I hope I am forgiven for not coming. Amen. Hallelujah. There is just this song that was dropped into my heart to remind me, because we shall be talking about divine inheritance. If there's any inheritance for us to enjoy, at least it starts from God. And that's why this song just came into my heart as I was preparing to come. And I want to sing it so that you listen to the words and then we just go on briefly. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land,
born in the land of the living God. Forever, the Lord is my portion in the land of the living God.
My God is good.
Forever.
Thank you, choir. Please sit down. Sit down. Let's turn our Bible to the book Esther. Esther, we are looking at chapter 5, 1, 2 to 3, and now it is chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Esther chapter 5, 1, 2 to 3, and then chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that he found favor in his sight. I love that one. This is another place. The first place was during the contest, beauty contest and all that. The second place, find favor. I pray for somebody that wherever you find yourself, favor will locate you. Favor will always follow you. It will come to the point that your life will be characterized by favor. Hallelujah. And he went on to say that, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Let's go to chapter 8. On the third day, the king Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman. Did you hear that one? What did you hear? The house of Haman. And the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king for Esther and told her he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from him. And did you hear that one? Somebody said divine inheritance. You didn't work for it. Hallelujah. I hope you understand where we are going. I pray that somebody will not labor before God with a blessing. And he went on to say, now Esther spoke again. Okay, sorry. We are in verse 2. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now, there are three things there. Three things there. That chapter, which I have our focus on, that chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. But we shall be talking something about that chapter 5. Hallelujah. Three things happened there before I will talk much. Let me just bring it up. One, Esther was given the inheritance of what? Haman. The house that belonged to Haman, Esther was given. The original ring that was for Haman, that was removed by King Ahasuerus, was given to what? Mordecai. And again they said, after Esther had received the inheritance, he now gave it back to what? Because she doesn't need it. She's already in the palace. She gave it to who? Mordecai. Why? Because the position Esther found herself today was made possible humanly by what? By Mordecai. I just want to point this one out so that you will understand that your labor is not in vain. There is a day of harvest, and when the harvest will come, it will shock you.
that everything you have done, every good thing you have done, every time I saw in the book of Esther, I wonder if Mordecai was not there, what will become of Esther? A young girl had lost the mother and the father because of the invasion of the Babylonian. Just his uncle, Mordecai, had to take her along to the exile. He did not abandon this young girl. He took care of this young girl, brought her up, and when the opportunity was open for this young girl to manifest her destiny, to fulfill her destiny, Mordecai did not leave anything. He made sure that he pushed Esther, even when she's not supposed to be there. Because actually, the whole of the thing is for the virgins of Susa. It is not for foreigner. It is not for slave to partake in that beauty contest. But he manipulated, and I think it was God that was helping them. He did everything to make sure that Esther is enlisted. Just think about the process this man has undergone, the process of raising Esther, the process of bringing her up to that level, the process of imputing courage into her. I just pray that everything you have done for somebody in this world, for members of your family, the Lord will reward you in the name of Jesus. I keep telling people, when you want to live your life alone, you don't have time for any other person. A time is coming, you will regret it. Because when you are old, you will not have anybody to get close to you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell us something about the book Esther. What's a unique feature about this book? I've taken time to go through this book and study it over and over. So many things the Lord unveils. So many lessons to learn from this book. Hallelujah. The book Esther, as some of us must have known, actually concerned itself with the Jews who decided to remain in Babylon instead of going back to Jerusalem when the opportunity came for them to leave with Zerubbabel. As we have in Esther chapter 3, chapter 2, the opportunity came, the exiles left first with Zerubbabel and others left with Nehemiah and others. But these Jews in Shushan, they don't decide to be there. Because one of the reasons from our study is that the remnant that were left in Jerusalem are little or nothing to dwell on. They are suffering. So these Jews, they feel we are comfortable. Even though we are slaves, what we are enjoying here is better, we stay here. But I pray for somebody that your decision will not be to remain in bondage. Everything that will make you to lose the opportunity of your freedom, you will not miss it. The Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. So while they were there, there were a lot of uniqueness that was happening. The question, did God forget about them because they took the decision never to return? No! God didn't forget about them. God still showed his concern that even though they never returned, God was still mindful of them because they belong to him. Because they are part of the chosen race. That's why this great God, sometimes you see us falling and rising. He still cares for us. He's such a caring God. He cares so much. A caring father taking care of uncareful children. That's what it is. caring father, so mindful of uncaring children. That's what he is. One of the uniquenesses is that this book made us understand that the Feast of Purim, which is today celebrated by the Jews, a colorful feast, came to being during this time. Hallelujah. Today it has become a noise-making feast anyway. Actually, it was meant to celebrate the deliverance of the Jews in Susa. But today they have watered it down. Just like many Christian festivals are being watered down on a daily basis. And when I was looking at it, just like Pharaoh trying to wipe out and refused to let the Jews leave Egypt, and it led to the Passover, this is how it is also for the Jews in Susa. When Haman refused to leave them and planned to exterminate them, it ended up in what? In Purim. Just like the bondage of the Israelites in Egypt ended up producing the Passover. That is how this Haman extermination agenda ended up in what? In producing Purim. Hallelujah. A celebration of deliverance. I want to pray for somebody that all the schemes of the enemy aim at terminating you, aim at unseating you, aim at removing the best thing God has given you, will end in what? In your breakthrough. You may not understand what I'm saying. The enemy may be planning to make sure that you don't get to where you're supposed to be. But I tell you, the climax is going to be an elevation. A divine breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. Number two thing that is so peculiar to the book of Esther is this. The name of God is not found in this book. How many of you know? There's no place the name God or Jehovah is mentioned. That's why many people have questioned the right of this book to be among the scriptures. How can such a book that doesn't have the name of God mentioned in it be canonized? Why should it have its place among the scriptures? Hallelujah. It is true that the name is not explicitly found. Still his presence, somebody say his presence. His presence, his power are clearly manifested throughout the story. If you go throughout the whole book of Esther, you see that God provided deliverance for his people through a series of design coincidences. If you look at it, there are series of design coincidences where God provided deliverance. When the hope of the people were finished, God stepped in. I pray for somebody that at the point of the hopelessness, Jehovah will step in. The Lord will show up in the name of Jesus. God step in. Even when the name of Jehovah was not explicitly found among his people, who voluntarily stayed in Babylon instead of returning to their own city and land, God did not withdraw his care. He was with them. He still protected them from every anti-Semitism, which was Satan's design, using them as an instrument for the extermination of the Jews. I pray that every design the enemy has packaged concerning your life, whether it's using demonic forces or using human principalities, even right in the church, they will not succeed over you. Because you have inheritance to enjoy. Do you know what it means to be in Christ Jesus? Do you know what it means? There is a message that changed my life in this world. Every child of God, there is a word in the Bible that changed your life. If you can locate that word. The day I discover who I am made of, that day my life changed. When I became a pastor, I was ordained, priested by my colleagues. Over a good 9 years, they have been promoted and all that. I am still at a lower level, moving from village to village. But that is not what bothers me. I am holding several offices, working like jackass. Hallelujah. But my bishops were not even seeing me. It's as if what I was doing was not being seen. Holding several offices. Is it the prayer bank coordinators of the diocese? The clerical senior secretary and all that. At my very lower level. I was a bit frustrated. And sometimes some people will come and say, what did you do to this bishop? You served to the bishop. Why is it that? No, I'll just look at them. The only consolation I have was that there was one Urobo adage that says, Ufilo Kroto, Okwenami Omwe. That is a trap that does not catch animal in time. Once it catch, it's a big animal. I will always say that to the people. So there was one day I was reading Genesis, and the Lord said, govern the earth, dominate, multiply. Does he mean I'm a governor at creation? Oh yes, I'm a governor. The Lord ministered to me, he said, you are a governor. You don't need to campaign. You are His Excellency, I made you a governor to govern the earth. This is your dominion mandate. Oh, somebody does not understand what I'm saying. That is the scripture. He said, multiply domination. I have a dominion mandate to fulfill. Come on, Satan, you are a liar. And I grab the scripture. I pray with the scripture. Beloved, when the Lord came out, it was wonderful. The least become the bishop. We have professors who are very robust. We have people having doctorate degree and all that. Among about 1,000 something priests, there was election done in Lagos. Because that day I saw that scripture, I keyed to the scripture and I possessed my dominion. Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, my life has to change. I'm talking about divine inheritance. It's an inheritance only God does. It doesn't depend on your toil, your toiling. It doesn't depend on your strength. In fact, sometimes you don't even have anything to do. He just brings it your way. That's why it is called divine. It has to do with God doing it Himself, and not by your strength. Of course, the Bible says, for by strength shall no power prevail. And after that, one day we just went for a clergy Bible study. I sat down at the back. You know, I never thought of anything. Amen. And the small bishop of Florida just started preferring people, promoting people. And he promoted about 5 canon, promoted about 4 archdeacons. And of all the canon, I was the last one to go to be promoted. I couldn't even rejoice because the thing not go even, he not move me again. Because the thing don't expire. Because once some promotion becomes so delayed, in fact, it will demoralize you. But I didn't know what God was doing. It was late. later his worship told me that the promotion he made was made because of me. That when he was praying who will take over the bishop of St. Leda's, the seat of the bishop, the dancing that is going to be created, that the Lord revealed to him and his wife, and he was saying, no, it can't be me. I'm just a young priest. There are big men over there. Why should it be me? He went and met some of our colleagues, bishop. Please pray with me. Look at what the Lord is revealing. And they prayed, they also confirmed. But he was not too convinced. He went to our retired primate and he said, ah, Baba, look at what is happening. Look at the young man that seems to be the bishop. He's not even a canon. He's not a venerable. There's no way you will present that to the house of bishop and they will pick an ordinary reverend and leave a canon and a venerable. And of course, some of them have doctorates, some of them are professors. How will that happen? Then they had gone, the entire primary Poco told him, go and prefer him. If it is the will of God, it will be done. So it was because, now in our sense, but if you prefer only him, at this critical time, people will read meaning to it. Therefore, prefer others first. Before you do what? You prefer him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your divine inheritance will not. I want to just use my life as a story. As a testimony, how divine inheritance comes. You don't struggle. God will raise voices that will be speaking for you. God will position men that will be addressing your case. God will place men that will be looking at your fire. The good thing is not going to be your qualification. Because if we talk about qualification, Esther is not qualified. The only qualification he has is that he's a virgin. After that, nothing. And at the end, we just had that preferment, beloved. And after that preferment, it was about 23 days to the election of the bishop. I didn't know. I was just in NFPC as a company chapel there, just doing the little I can, serving the God I know I should serve. Going on with my ministry. That was the only year I left the village. All the other years, 9 years, I was in the village, moving from village to village. I tell you, my brother, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. It is who you are that matter, not what you are saying in this world. At the end of the day, they went to Lagos to do the election. Very late in the evening, the bishop of Warri, the present bishop, now called me. I was in the bus, I just sat down on my bed. I wanted to just sleep. Because after we had prayed, so I just want to sleep. My wife was by me. I was worried. Though I'm the secretary, the clerical secretary of the old diocese, as a young priest, I said, is there anything I'm going to do this night? So I now answered, I said, your lordship. Nigo, and I greeted him. He now received my greeting. He said, who is with you there? The thing just make me there afraid. I said, I'm with my wife. He said, I hope you are not with anybody there. He said, let me tell you, you have been elected the bishop of St. Leda's. 23 days after my preferment as a canon, and officially I am not been sworn in as a canon. I am not the officially ceremonially done. Are you hearing me? 23 days, I jumped the position of an IGK. I tell you, you will overtake your neighbor. It was a shocker. I couldn't say, I was just crying. Because I never expected it. I was just crying. And when I was very curious, I was asking God, why? How? One of my son-in-law, who was a student in the University of Jos, when he had been elected, the text message he sent to me was what gave me an answer to my curiosity. What is his text message? He said,
my Father in God. The Lord has just taken you up with the speed of grace. And that is the second book I wrote in my life. The Speed of Grace. There is a grace to become. Unless the grace to become is showered on you, you will go nowhere. And when you are running with the speed of grace, overtaking is allowed. Nobody can stop you. You will outrun your equal. Even those that were ahead of you, you will outrun them. That is the divine inheritance we are talking about. A kind of life you do not expect, you do not labor for, that doesn't depend on your qualification. I know in a community like this, an education community like this, before you become a HOD or a this or that, at least they will look at your qualification. Your papers will be moving from table to table because they believe in physical qualification. And that is why sometimes the best leader is not often sorted out. And that is the problem of the world, because we depend too much on earthly qualification. That's why our leadership is being destroyed on a daily basis. They don't lean on God. They don't depend on God. Look at how the whole process started. The bishop first of all had a revelation. He saw it. He shared with his prayer partners. They handled it spiritually. And they found it is true. He took an advice from the head of leadership of the church. The leader guided him. I tell you, when you grab a real revelation about life, and you have good counselors around you, nobody can stop you from manifesting. Nobody. Sometimes when we are looking at the earthly qualification, we must not stop there. When we are setting the earthly qualification, let us go to the spiritual qualification and ask God. Hallelujah. So you see that the book Esther is a book that is unique, but with no presence of God's name mentioned. But God was behind the scene, doing everything. Let me tell you, even if people do not see your God is right with you there. Even if men decide to humiliate you, a time is coming, your God will come out of you. Your God will roar and swallow them. That's why this book provides a wonderful lesson. Lessons that actually showcase the faithfulness of God to his people, even when they were disobedient to him. I just want to put it before us that the life we are living does not depend on our righteousness. Because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. But that is not to say you must not live a righteous life. But don't capitalize on your well-doing. I think because that's why many people are missing it. They are building their hope on falsehood. We must know that everything we are begins in God, continues in God, and we climax in Him. That's why I said, in Him we live, we walk, and do what? And have our being. You must get declared that if there is a life you are going to live, the life is in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible also says Christ in us is the hope of glory. If you are going to live a glorious life, a life that will become a model for the faith of others, you must find your life in Christ Jesus. The
story we are talking about, if you look at the whole thing, if not God working for Esther, how can a slave, virgin, outrun the daughters of Susa, whose fathers are nobles? So by their father, they are the kingmakers. They are members of the palace. Have you ever thought of about it? That such a girl that is not known except his brother Malika, a slave, could walk her way into the heart of the king. The Bible says the king had found favor in the heart of what? Of the king. How did he manage to walk her way into the heart of the king in the midst of the entire Susa virgins? If not God that is at work. And you didn't stop there. In that chapter 5, why already this is, if you look at it, Esther walked to the king uninvited, which is against their law. You cannot see the king in his court, whether you are a squid, whether you are a son, whether you cannot see the king, King Ahasuerus, seated at his court without being invited, without any appointment. You cannot. In fact, it has a deadly penalty. But when it's like God has understand, I mean Esther has understand the direction God is leading her. And when she has heard about all that Haman has been doing, especially intimidating Mordecai, her own uncle who has made her to become what she is, she didn't take the matter serious. Less serious. She just said, go and tell the rest Jews, let them fast and pray. Why? Because she had in mind to see the king. Let me tell you, if you take the right step about life, you will get the right result. Did you hear that one? If you take the right step about your life, you will get the right result. Who is he fasting to if God is not there? Is he not the God of the Jews? She exercised her faith, her religion. She told the rest of the Jews, fast. I am going to see the king. If I perish, let me do what? Why did he say that? She knew very well that she is not invited. And doing it is against the law of the land. And it has a death penalty. You can imagine a queen saying, if I see my husband, if I bury, let me bury. If not because of the magnitude of your faith, why would he say, if I bury, let me perish? Because she knew very well that the steps she wants to take is terrible. The Bible says she went. Instead of the king rebuke her, the golden scepter is not easily raised. It is only raised as a sign of I welcome you. I pray. The Lord will raise his golden scepter. At every point you approach your destiny fulfillment, the Lord will raise it for you in heaven. And we welcome your prayer point. He will welcome your crying. He will say, my son, you are welcome. What do you want me to do for you? That was the second question. The first question. And I asked myself, if God is not at work, will Esther have that favor? We had it read, say, and he had favor of the king. Favor of the king. If God was not at work, Esther would be rebuked. Don't forget, the same king is the one that dropped his first widow because he refused to show up to show her beauty. Just for that, if he can do Queen Vishti like that, not to talk of somebody coming to meet him uninvited, if not God's favor, if not God at work? Do you think the same thing that be, don't you think the same thing that befell with vision would have befell Esther? It will. But because God is at work, because there is a divine inheritance that must go to them. Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, the king said, ask of anything. It is my kingdom. Now think about the kingdom of heaven. The same thing God is telling some of us, ask of anything. It is my kingdom. Ask of anything. Beloved, when you are in tight corner, go to God. Even at a time you do not think it's necessary, every time is important for prayer. There's no specific time for prayer. Yes, we know that there are some hours of prayer in the day, going by the Jewish culture and all that. But prayer has no specific time. When you know you are in a tight corner and you are very sure that someone is against you, go to God. Present your matter to Him. You will see what He will tell you. And at the end, Esther presented her request. Hallelujah. And when the king had knowledge of all this, already the king had already favored Mordecai. But he had not gotten a detail of what has been done to Mordecai by Haman. In chapter 6, the Bible said the king could not sleep because there is a Mordecai to be what? To be blessed. I tell you, if your helper refuses to help you, the Lord will help him to help you. Anyway, you want to do it, I don't know. There's a prayer I always pray. Any of my helper who refuses to help me will not sleep. In fact, he will see me for a dream. Hallelujah. But in that chapter 8, after chapter 5, after everything had been explained, the king said, oh, if this is how this man is, okay. You know, in chapter 6, he had already removed his ring. He has disrobed him as the, what do they call it now? Is it the prime minister, I would say, derobe him, remove the ring from him. And as soon as Esther presented her request, it became clear. Oh, this Mordecai, the same man has suffered this. Okay, you Esther, whatever belonged to Haman before, I give it to you. When you say the house of Haman, everything he has, that's what he has in your life. Everything he has, everything, that's what he symbolizes. And then, oh, so he treated the Mordecai I am honoring in chapter 6. Oh, that this man is our honor. He said, bring him. And I said, this is the ring I removed from Haman before. Now his office you will occupy. Take. Did they work for it? Do they cry for it? Do they beg for it? This is the divine we are talking about. This is a divine inheritance. They didn't labor for it. They didn't lobby for it. When the time was fully come, the Lord gave them the inheritance. That's what we are talking about. If you read Psalm 2 verse 8, let's look at Psalm 2 verse 8. And we shall also read Isaiah 61 verse 6. And now we're running off. Psalm 2 verse 8. Turn your Bible to Psalm 2 verse 8. Let me tell you what the Lord says in that place. If you get it, you can read it before me. There's nothing wrong. Can you read it if you are there? Did you hear that? Ask of what? He didn't say, I will only give you what I'm supposed to give you. That hidden inheritance is an addendum. Are you hearing me? One will just sleep. He didn't say, already he has said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. That is basically for yourself. But now he's saying, ask of me, and I will give you what? The hidden inheritance. Go on. At the end of the earth for your what? For your possession. There is power in asking. When the Lord said, ask, he understands that you need it to. If you look at the word, you won't ask. They ask, carry, ask, seek, and knock. Are you hearing me? The word ask, A-S-K, it carries a broad word. And Jesus' teaching was based on this real concept. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be what? Shall be what? Only the ask carries the whole. So it's from the teaching of seeking to receive. Sometimes there is a need to go beyond mere asking. There is a need to seek intensely. And there is a need to continue to knock. Jesus gave a parable that a woman was always knocking at the door of a church. Come and vindicate me. Come and help me get what I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. And he just said, I just have to give this woman what she needs so that I can have my word, my peace. That is how we're supposed to be troubling heaven over issues that concern our lives. We trouble heaven, and you will see God will do what? We respond. He said, if you ask, I will give you the inheritance of the hidden. The inheritance of the hidden, you know, it doesn't belong to them purely. Some they walk it with their own power, some they stole it. Some are part of the things that are supposed to come to you that they do what? They stole. Take for instance the present leadership of our nation. The money that is made for every human being in Nigeria, they have put them in their own personal purse and private account while the masses are suffering. He's saying that such money, when you are well disposed to me, I will give you that money. There was a time I told my people at Ogara, because I'm from Ogara, Etop West. I told my people, the time is coming, these politicians that refuse to change that we are preaching to, they refuse, they will lose everything. They didn't believe. Today, what is happening to them? Where are they? When their own son was there helping them, they were messing up the whole system. Some of them are selling the thing cheaply because it didn't belong to them. Today, all this a mass made of wealth here and there. A time is coming, it will change her. It will change her. That's what the Lord said. He said, all those ill-gotten wealth that they have amassed for themselves, if you ask of me, you are well disposed to ask of me, I will remove it from your hand. Power will change her, and you will have it for your possession. That's what the Lord is going to do in somebody's life. Let's go to Isaiah 61 verse 6. Isaiah 61 verse 6, and then we shall be running off. Isaiah 61 verse 6. Ye shall be named the priest of. Now, this is the priesthood of all believers, where there will be no gap between the clergy and the laity. And that is speaking about the church. before Christ. When God wants to bless, He does not create a gap. If God wants to bless this church, is He going to create a gap between the clergy and the members? No. He said, in my blessing, if I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you an inheritance. There will be no say, I am a pastor and I am a what? A lady. I will lavish it upon you. There will be no gap. Because everybody is entitled to my blessings. To the inheritance. Yes? You see, men shall call you. He didn't say only the ordinary. Is he saying to ordain pastors alone? He said, men shall call you the ministers of our word, of our God. Why? Because when the blessings are seen in you, spiritual prosperity is manifesting in your life. When the inheritance of heaven is being unfolded upon you, when it's radiating the glory of the heavens, when the evidences are showcasing, he said, when they see, they'll say, ah, these are ministers of what? Of the Lord. Meaning your heavenly inheritance have a lot of dignity, have a lot of coloring, have a lot of meaning to add to your life. Yes? He said, see now, again, you shall eat the riches of all of the Gentiles. Why is the Lord so concerned about the riches of the Gentiles? Have you asked yourself? It means there is something wrong with the riches of the Gentiles. Number one, it means they are possessing something that does not belong to them. What belongs to you and me? Is that not what is happening today in Nigeria? You can imagine one single individual will have 2, 3, 4 billion in his account and the whole people are suffering. You can imagine some of them, even their own family member, are finding it difficult to pay her rent. And they go about carrying women to Dubai and all those stupid places. How can you be a rich man? Your own junior brother will be driving your car before he can eat. And you still go about and they call you, oh, father. Father. They give you all sort of name. You walk and you develop automatic hunchback. With another man money, the Lord is saying, if we are well disposed to Him, if we can package our life well to meet His own standard, He will release the riches of God, the Gentiles to us, to be our inheritance. Now, we are not going to labor, that's why it is divine. Because divine means it has to do with something, something that has to do with God, something that has to do with ultimate reality. I'm not man. And when you want to do it, you will even use the people you did not expect. Those are the people he's going to use to do it, to effect it upon your life. Read on. Did you see yourself? In their glory now. You know when they go about, they go about living a life of affluence. They go about moving as if the world is in their pocket with your own money. Imagine somebody has worked and retired. His pension and gratuity are not being paid. But somebody is going about with the pension and gratuity of those who suffer in the office. And they glory in it. They glory in it. Why you who labor, you are suffering? My senior sister have retired long ago, but not till today, she has not received her gratuity and pension. And it has taken me into a drastic prayer now. Whoever is sitting down upon half her money will be on fire. I've decided to pray a very terrible prayer. Whatever God wants to do to them, let it do to them. All I want, let her money come. She has labored for it and nobody should sit down on it. They glory with your own property. What is meant for the poor people, poor masses of this nature? They book it, put it in their pocket, they glory about. That man is nonsense. In the glory that they are glory, they glorify themselves. I will make it in such a way that you will glory in it. Because I will change the word. I will change the hand. I will change the control. When it's going to happen, you are not going to labor for it. Like I told you my own story, I didn't labor for it. I was just busy with what I know how to do. All I know is that there is a day set aside for me. When men were even crying for me, I didn't bother myself. Because everybody has his own time. My time is not your time. But what thing I will allow you, don't take my own to join your own. If you try it, you will come in. That's why I'm not a friend to anybody. Call leader or whatever. I don't have time. Because I told God, if you cannot take care of me, then you shouldn't have. But I know you do. He wouldn't have called me if he would not take care of me. Who told you that my God will not say, I will have to come and beg you? If you do for me, it is for your own good. Did you hear that? If I do for you, it's for my own good. Don't think whatever you are, keep telling my people, don't think whatever you do for Bishop Elisena is for his own good. No! In fact, it is for your own good. Because it is in my enjoying what you do for me that the Lord will remember you. Is somebody understanding me? We must be very careful. When we are in position, know that you are positioned for a purpose. It's a book I've written. Position for a purpose. Know that you are positioned for a purpose. And inspiration came from the book of Esther. In chapter 4. Mordecai told him, that's why I got inspiration. He told him, he said, even if you don't come, deliverance will come for another place. He said, but in such a time like this, do you know why you are positioned as a queen? That's why I got inspiration. To tell you, I've read the book of Esther so much. Most of us, the little elevation we have, we will use it to the detriment of other people's life. Do you know God need you to elevate somebody? Are you understanding me? Hello? Do you know God need you to elevate somebody? Just as he needs somebody to elevate you. So if you are given an opportunity and you mess it up, you are not only reshunting yourself, you are reshunting others. And I want to conclude by saying, whatever qualification you have in life, make it secondary to God's own ultimate qualification. Are you understanding me? Humble yourself. That's why when I pastored NMPC, the church where I was elected the bishop, this is like a transit for me. When I came into the church, we have executive Christian there. The NMPC worker, they see millions upon millions. They thought I came because of their money. The first service I told them, please, I did not come because of your money. And hang your coat of pride at the doorpost. When you are going back, pick it and exercise your pride answer. I have come to do my father's work. And I will not meet you one day and beg. But if you give me, I will take. I made myself clear. Beloved, because I didn't do that, you know, my people's worthy. They went to my election. That's how when God wants to elevate, nobody can stand your way. It shocked me when my bishop then told me, he said, a week to my election, The two right hand man I have, my people's wanted a pastor's wedding. They went to my bishop and complained. You can imagine, though, a week and complained, saying, you see, this is our chaplain. He does not say church prayer. Tomorrow we don't see him. He's with one that sits out of future, one that sits out of work. He's a singer, he's a this. We can't get him. Now, the bishop now asked him, did he steal your money? They say no. Did he chase your wife? They say no. What sin did he commit? Is it that he's doing God? Did he run for the work he's doing his own? They say no. Is it the work of the church? They say this year. Is it okay? You people should go. He now sent for me. Look at the time I have already been in the heart of the bishop. I am now going to be presented and nominated. Look at the time the devil sent the two of them. The two key figures in the church, whose mouthpiece everybody respect. Look at it. I tell you, the devil is very crafty. But I pray for somebody, no matter the design of the enemy, it will not stop your promotion. It will not stop your blessings. In the name of Jesus. I know in academic community like this, some people have been oppressed. When they are supposed to be heading department, they will manipulate it. I pray for you, if you are somebody who is experiencing that, enough is enough. You are released in the name of Jesus. The bishop said, come. When I go there, the wife was seated, he was seated. He said, bless you. What I want to tell you now, don't go back and say anything. Keep your mouth shut. But I want to tell you something. That do you know yesterday, no, day before yesterday, your people's wording and your pastor's wording were here. Trying to say you do this, they do this, but I told them. Did you see money? They said no, they come back. You people should go. Imagine, just think of it. A manager wants to promote you. And two people from your department will just come. And these are key people that will say something to the manager. And he will not, he must respect them. Just like what Haman did. Haman was a man who talked to King Ahasuerus and he had no choice. Imagine a week, they came. Satan just pushed them. But thank God for my bishop. Thank God, I pray for somebody that no matter what the enemy is packaging, the Lord will scatter their package. Because there is an inheritance nobody can take away from you. No, nobody can take it. What did I believe in my life? I keep telling people, what is meant for me, you can't take it. You only waste your time. God, right from that day, I discovered Genesis 1:28. He said, go find the earth. I knew that I was created His excellency for creation. A governor. I love that word. The word, go find the earth. Translation, I love it. That was the scripture that changed my life. And it was the very year I saw the scripture in depth that my life was defined. Beloved, divine inheritance is from God. It's not from man. It's God that does it. It doesn't depend on your strength. It doesn't depend on your head knowledge. You don't have why you see so many people, they have PhD, but the PhD is a mere pulling down. Some are even professors, they cannot profess. I keep asking, if you are a professor, you cannot profess your faith in Christ Jesus. What is the use of the professorship? Because it is in professing of our faith in Christ that your real professorship will be what? Will be empowered. Anything done outside God is nothing. It's nothing. Because at the end it will be terminated. It will end with this side of eternity. But when when you are tapping your strength from the Lord, when you are tapping your wisdom from Him, when the standing you have is from Him, I tell you, heaven will begin to order your way. And when heaven orders your way, they orders your way to destinations where God's name will be what? Will be glorified through you. And that is when your life will be meaningful. Every day I think about my life, I keep glorifying. Will one day will ask the right thing in life, if not God, that I will sit down with the president of countries and be eating dinner. Take for instance, Museveni of Uganda. I am eating dinner with him by the best of all. Many places I've gone in this world today, I keep asking myself, if not God, somebody say, if not God. Imagine my father and my mother gave birth to 3 or 4 triplets. At a time when the government does not care, my father and my mother almost abandoned us to die. In fact, my triplet brother, Reverend Canon Dr. Bright, my mother had to abandon him for 2 weeks without giving him a breast so that he can die, so that he can take care of 2 of us, myself and my triplet sister. We are still very much alive by God's grace. We just celebrated our birthday yesterday. Hallelujah. If not God, imagine he came to a point my mother had to abandon one boy and try to save one girl and one boy. That's why they gave my triplet brother Omamuyomi, saying that go ahead now get. It was the nurse that was taking care of us then. Not the this day nurse when they visit patient for home. Because in those days, the nurses and midwives, they will visit all those that are patients, especially women who deliver at their homes. They came and they did not see my triplet brother. He was abandoned at the back of the house, almost dying. So then the nurse screamed, took him back to the hospital, treated my mother's breast, and before, you know, that's how today is a reverend in the Anglican Church, Reverend Carol. What am I trying to say? I have enjoyed what is called divine inheritance. It's not a lie. It's possible for you. Yes, you can enjoy it. Yes, listen, not everything that they labor for before they get up. See, there are things that favor after displace labor. There are things favor after displace labor. It's not everything labor. Of course, the futility of life is so exposed by the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, all this toilsome, vanity, unto vanity, all this what? All is vanity. Life is not by toiling alone. I'm not saying do not walk, because there's no food for he that will not walk. But I'm saying, when you understand the way God operates life, and you are able to keep yourself in line with his agenda, I tell you, some of the things people are clamoring and running head and scatter for, you will see that they will walk to you. After all, the Bible says, it says goodness will pursue you. Eh? So, beloved, let us try and trust God for who he is. He has said it in 2 places. That Isaiah 61 verse 6. That Psalm 2 verse 8. He said, I will give you the riches of what? Of the Gentiles. Meaning, after you have been given your own, the one the enemy has taken from you. And there's another place in the scripture. He said, the hidden riches of darkness. He said, I will give it to you. And that is the word of some people that the enemy has caged up. Let me just tell you this story around up. When things were not going, my father took time to train us. As a retired headmaster, he spent his money to train all of us. and nothing was happening in my family. But we are committed Christians. We believe we were born into the church, raised in the Lord. We have a good spiritual formation. And my father is a disciplinarian. We were so cultured. We were well brought up. But this was not happening. The man spent his own money trading off. Everybody was just like in a zero level. And it came to a time when I told my triplet brother, my senior sister, really, we sat down. We said we need to talk to God. We sought the face of God. And God started revealing it in our heart. There was a pear tree that the Lord, my father, planted in his whole family compound. That pear tree, not knowing witches and wizards, are taking it over. And they tied all of our weight to that tree. Until God revealed it to my senior sister one day. And so we went home. We uprooted that tree. Because I believe in family liberation. Because I mature in spiritual warfare. That's why you don't cross me. If you cross me, I will cross you. At the end of the day, we went to my father. Look, this tree you planted, this is what we have seen. This is what God has revealed. My father said, bring it down. Do you know, my people, since I've been talking, we started cutting that tree. We cut the taproot, the tree refused to what? To fall. And funny enough, we did not tell anybody that we are coming to the country. That day, before we know, the whole of the community has gathered. As if we sent for them. All my uncle, my late uncle, the late uncle, wife, my brother, they said, they're one of my cousins. While others are standing, he sat down at the corner of the gate, of my auntie's house. There where the tree is. My eyes just wave. No, my junior brother, I just, why is this man not getting up since? And I said, come on, get up and leave this. Immediately he get up, the tree fell. And when the tree fell, one of my uncle wife was saying, see, before I am not that man, you know. Then I'm not that man. What is it? He said, I told you people, they have discovered the secret. They have discovered we were just hearing them. That one that sat down, he didn't take up to 3 months, he died. There are people who want to sit down on your inheritance. They want to keep you on check. And after that, they don't reveal another thing to my sister. God took him to our family compound. And he discovered that there is a pool in the center of the compound. And there was a crocodile coming out from the pool. So my sister said, how can the crocodile be here? In the realm of the spirit, she started fighting and killing the crocodile. She couldn't kill immediately. I emerged in the realm of the spirit. And both of us started killing the crocodile. And the crocodile was shouting, leave me. I'm the child of this place. This is my place. Leave me. Leave me. But we succeeded in killing the crocodile. Before the crocodile died, he vomited a ball. A gold like a ball. Do you know what I mean? Gold is like a ball. That is our blessings. He vomited it. And it was from that year we exploded. That is how we exploded. My sister who could not even buy anything, having thought for so many, bought car. Just go start a reaching out to us. Some of you today, what you are experiencing, you may not know. There are hidden things going on that need to be addressed. That is why at the point of the child of God, you must subject your family to liberation. There are foundations that are speaking against you. There are altars in your family level that are working. You may not belong to the altar, but they are establishing those altars in the name of the family. And they are speaking. For you to enjoy divine inheritance, you must clear the bush. What do I say? You must clear the bush. You must address your foundation. You must address your root. Where you come from matters a lot. It speaks so much. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet. Don't forget the book Esther does not have explicitly declared God, but God was behind the scene. Let me remind you, even if people did not see the God you are serving, is at work in your life. Even if the head of the department doesn't see the God you are serving, a day is coming, he will experience of God. It took great so many years for King Ahasuerus to actually notice a man, Mordecai. That night, the Bible says that as if the king could not sleep. You see, he was going through the book of Chronicles. I pray for somebody. The chronicle of your good work will be open and the Lord will act accordingly. Every good thing you have done in this world, today, they will speak for you in the name of Jesus. And if there is a helper who is unmindful about you, today I pray that helper will not rest until he has located you. He will not rest until he has located you. In the name of Jesus. Every human that is attached to your life, every human that wants you dead, every hammer that wants you exterminated, every hammer that hates you for no cause, today let them go down in the order of hammer in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, he prepared a gallows for the Israelites. I mean the Jews. And upon the gallows he prepared, he was hanged. Whoever has prepared any casket, any death pack package for you, they will die in his own plans. I've studied the Bible so much and I come to know that if you are in good disposition with to God, those who are going after you will die before you. God does not take familiarity for granted. So that when your father is fighting against you, he will say, let me leave him. Forget it. Absalom fought his own father David. God did not look at familiarity. God did not look at family relationship. God dealt with Absalom. Those who follow him, the 20,000, they went down the same day with him. Adonijah tried it. He did not survive it. Herod tried it. He did not survive it. Pharaoh tried it. He did not survive it. Judas Iscariot tried it. He did not survive it. Korah, Abiram, and Dothan, they tried it. They did not survive it. Even when Miriam tried to misbehave, God smitten her with leprosy. It's not a respecter of any man. Anybody who is after your life, trying to rubbish your destiny, trying to rubbish your inheritance, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say, wither! Let them wither from head to feet. All the point, a time a woman was trying to bring paralysis to herself, and I reverse it to her, and it happened to her. You know, because I pray for mercy, she would have been dead by now. You cannot toy with God's people. Listen, look at your life. You carry. You see, even if there's nothing, you carry the breath of God in you. Part of God is in you. That part cannot be wasted. Anybody want to waste the potentials of God in your life? Wherever they cage you, there are some of us, when we sleep in our dream, we find ourselves in between fence compound. We can't come out. That means you are spiritually in bondage. You are in prison. I speak to you as a child of God, as an oracle of God. The Bible says the Son of Man set you free. You are free. Child of God, you are free in the name of Jesus. How can you be trading? How can you be doing business? The same business others are doing and they are flourishing. Yours is going down. The capitals you have used are finished. You have put more, nothing is happening. Today, Every power manipulating your business, I command that power to die
in the name of Jesus. Every power manipulating your business, from today that power is gone. That power is destroyed. That power is scattered. There are some of you, you live in a compound, you will not be able to buy. One of my daughters in those days in Agbaro, when I was in Ogbere Agbaro, that village, you understand, I was pastoring. One of my daughters came, she was overdue for marriage, and she's not, nobody is even approaching her. They don't let me to ask her, which compound are you staying? They say now one man where they serve a yelala, one idol. That you they say. How many years now? I told me the number. Hey. The year I told her to pack, that was the year she got married. There are some compounds, they take away your blessings. Some of the owners are occultic. Some of the owners have sold out everything in that compound to a particular deity, because their sources of money for that compound is from that deity. So whoever did that is under the coverage of the deity. I set you free today. Every one of you staying in any compound, the Lord will direct you to leave that compound in the name of Jesus. How can you stay in the compound? You cannot buy even common bicycle. You can't buy common bicycle. The television, the ancient television case you back up, that still remain. Struggling to leave. And some of you, you walk before the month ends. The whole of the money has gone. You cannot explain how this money is being spent. Today, that spirit that siphons your money, that spirit that take over your money, that withdraw your monthly parcel, that is a child that is controlling it for wasted. Today, I bind the spirit in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands as a round off. Your name is higher than every name. Your name is Jesus. Your name is love. Your name is higher. Your name is Jesus. Your name is love. The psalmist said, I will call upon the name of the Lord. So shall I be saved from my enemy. Beloved, use the name of the Lord. That name is a powerful name. When the devil come around, use the name. Bible says, name is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it, and they are saved. In the name of Jesus, every power that says he will not let you go, today I address you as fire in the name of Jesus. Every power that says your daughter will not marry, your business will not move forward, you will not be promoted, as fire. Every power that has releases curse upon you, that has released spell upon you. You are living is like you are not known. There are some of us, nobody even know where we are living. Apart from the circle of our, the confine of our compound, it's like we are not living with all the right sound that we have. How can you be living in this wide world and you are not noticed even by your immediate environment? Something is wrong. Today I retract your life. In the name of Jesus, I retract your life. Every part of bewitchment, every part of retrogression that you have been working around, that is not the way. That is not the way. Don't
have very resounding qualification, papers, that when they are presented in places, men will salivate. But they are like being useless. And we have no choice. We have to take whatever come our way. Today, wherever they carry your paper to, whoever is monitoring your paper, whoever is using your paper against your wish, in the name of Jesus, I command that person to be paralyzed. Every evil hand that is upon your life for evil, every evil hand that is upon your life for evil, for misfortune, I cut off that hands in the name of Jesus. Every dictator assigned against your life, dictating your destiny, dictating your fruitfulness, dictating your marriage, dictating your children's life, what are you waiting for? Expire in the name of Jesus. Every taskmaster that is placed upon your life, saying this is what you must do, when you are trying to do things that will bring meaning to your life, they will position you to do what you ought not to do. Those taskmaster that is placed upon your life, today, somebody say, expire. Somebody say, expire. The Old Testament talk about household enemy, and the New Testament Jesus spoke about it, that the enemy of a man is a member of his house. I don't care whoever is there, that long time enemy acting like a brother and like a sister, acting like a friend and a well-wisher, whom you give all your mind to, whom you share your vision for, whom you share your dream to, you never know who he is. He even pray with you, but after prayer he goes back to carry your matter as a prayer point to that cool. In the name of Jesus God of Nazareth, the God whom I'm serving, the God who has lifted me, the God who has been there for me, I command them to scatter. Who told you that you cannot make it? Initially, Jabez was thinking that is his own lifestyle. And the Bible said he was more honorable than his brother. How can a man who is more honorable become more belittled than his brother? What can you marry the two together? How can you be more honorable than your brethren? And your life have no evidence for it. Our humility should be evidences. Our state of humbleness should be evidences of God's blessings. Jabez said, no. God, this I have discovered, this is not the kind of life you created me for. You just have to do something. You need to change, if I enlarge my course, to meet my honorability, to meet my status. If I am more honorable, enlarge my course. Every covering they use to cover you, status cannot manifest. Today, in the name of Jesus, you are released. You are released. You are released. I command that covering to scatter abroad. Erase rashes. Every stubborn evildoer who does not want to let you go, who said, as far as I live, as far as I live, I will not let him go. Waiting for the man, you have to die now. Because when Pharaoh said he won't let them go, he answered that whoever has taken that choice, whoever has taken that position, he has chosen his death. 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 He must go.
Bible says, tell the righteous it is well with you. I bless your home today. I bless your home today. I bless your office today. I bless your children today. I bless your business today. I bless your family business. I bless your ministry. In the name of Jesus. Every student in this place, lift up your hands. Every student, lift up your hands. Whether you are a PhD student, you are reading master, or whatever, lift up your hands. The Bible says, he that lack wisdom, let him ask of the Father. And in Isaiah chapter 11, the spirit of wisdom is there for us. The spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of understanding is available. And that's what I wish for you today. You will no more read and forget. You will no more read and forget. The Spirit of God will bring everything to the memory in the name of Jesus. Where others are failing, you will not fail. Even if there's a lecturer who wants to fail you because you did not go to his demand, he will, before you know, he has passed you. Before you know, he has given you A. Before you know, he has given you B. I pray for those of you who have no supporter, struggling to train yourself. Mother no more there, father no more there. You will have helper. The Lord will raise helper for you. The Lord will raise helper for you. In the name of Jesus. To those who are due for marriage, I pray for you today. As you leave this church today, as you leave this church today, your husband to be will approach you. Your husband to be will walk up to you. Your husband to be will walk up to you. In the name of Jesus. Your wife to be will walk up to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, those who are due for promotion, let them take their promotion. Take and carry go. Take and carry go. Take it and carry go. In the name of Jesus. I pray for the ministers in this church, using your servant as a point of contact. Lord, the Bible says that out of the spirit of Moses, you remove and place in that people you selected to support him in number. Father, out of the anointing you give to me, I declare a fruitful ministry upon their life, O God. A favorable ministry. Ministry that will showcase the glory of God. Ministry that will showcase the evidences of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. They will not labor in vain. They will not minister in vain. The Lord will exalt their home. They will be ahead of the congregation. They will show them the way. The Lord will bless them. In their going and their coming in, so shall it be. I pray for the choir, that as you minister, heaven will come down to kiss the air on account of your ministration. Your ministration will not go dry. Souls will be lifted. Salvation will be arose. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will bless your world. Your soul shall reach out to souls. We give hope to the hopeless. We give faith to the faithless. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.